Yeah, it was just like a huge awakening and everything clicked. And it all just began with just really reflecting on who I am and not letting the world define me and not defining my identity around my flesh, like my skin color, my eye color, my gender, things like that.
You're listening to the Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
All right, I want to welcome everyone to the Alex Spicer Show. And today I have a very, very special guest here. I have Beryl Ann Phillips. She is amazing. She is someone that I've actually been following for a time now on Instagram and on YouTube. And I really like the messages that she shares. You can tell if you follow her on Instagram or even on YouTube, you can tell that the things that she talks about, the things that she shares really comes from the heart, and they can have a major impact on people's lives if they're open to truth. That's what I feel like when I watch what you do, Anne. Now, you're okay if I call you Anne, right? Or do you want me to call you
Beryl? That's fine. Yes, Anne for short.
Awesome. Now, I really want people to get to know you and understand you a bit more, and we'll dive into kind of what your message is and your background. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do now.
All right, so my name is Beryl Ann. Like I always say in most of my videos, you can call me Ann for short. I'm from Illinois. I was born and raised here in Illinois. I love Illinois. I always find myself coming back home if I try to move somewhere like in my past. But I got married back in October of 2020. It was a huge blessing. And as of now, I am a homemaker and a stay-at-home wife, and I love it. It's such a blessing, and I'm very thankful to be in this chapter of life right now.
That's awesome. And you say it's been a great blessing. You know, you got married. It's been a great blessing. Uh-huh. I feel like you don't hear enough of that nowadays. People talking about how, like, yeah, like, you know,
yeah,
this is a great blessing. So I would love to know, in what ways is it such a blessing to you?
It's a blessing because it was something I've always desired. And even though I started off on the wrong foot and I did things the wrong way of trying to get married, God intervened, or he gave me the grace of knowing who he is so I can follow his word and his ways, and eventually it led up to this point of life. So that's what I'm mostly thankful for, is the gift that God gave me, his mercy and his grace.
That's awesome. And what do you do now? Can you help people understand what it is that you do now?
In regards to like homemaking or work or things like that?
Let's talk about homemaking and what you're sharing, how you're impacting the world through your work.
Okay, so as of right now, I am a homemaker. I just have our two cats. My other cat, sadly, is back home, or back at my old house. I couldn't bring, we could have three cats here, sadly.
Oh, no.
So as a homemaker, taking care of the home and managing the home is my primary priorities, my main responsibility. I do work in substitute teaching. So I do sub maybe once every other week, but with the global pandemic and everything, schools were shut down. So of course I was out of work for nearly, since like last March, about a year basically.
Wow.
And so I do sub here and there. It's great for extra money and to see other people and just extra cash basically. And so in regards to my YouTube channel, I just decided to redo my channel to help women out there understand more about the biblical womanhood and to get on the path of marriage, because I figured since it was a struggle for me and it took me many, many years to get on that right path and everything, I figured I can be that person to really help women and even men, if there's a guy watching my channel, surprisingly, for women to really understand the right way, the protocol of trying to get married and becoming a homemaker, for women who desire to be married, and for women who feel it's their calling, of course.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, being a man who does watch your YouTube channel, I do get stuff out of it because, for me, it's encouraging to, there's two hats here. One side is it is encouraging. The other side is it is, it's educational for me.
Yeah.
So one, it's encouraging for me to go, someone is like saying what I, you know, what I think is totally true and totally right.
Right.
And then the other side is I go, well, I didn't think about it that way. It really actually for me helps me feel like I greater appreciate what I consider to be something sacred, which is, you know, womanhood and homemaking. I feel like those are very, very sacred. It's really cool though that you can be like, yeah, you know, I'm a homemaker, because nowadays that's like taboo to say, you know, to be proud of it, be like, I'm a homemaker. I'm like, is your husband oppressing you?
I do get a little hesitant saying it to people, especially someone I don't know. It can be a little devastating. Like, it's a little, I guess, I'm like super introverted at times. So it's like telling someone something that's like just not the popular opinion. And a lot of people see it as, like you said, oppressive or outdated and old-fashioned and things like that. So there's a huge misunderstanding of the role of being a homemaker and a stay-at-home mom and things like that. So it can be a little scary telling people. They just don't understand. So,
well, let me dive into this a little bit here. Like, you know, they don't fully understand, you know, just how good it is to be a homemaker. What would you say are some of the greater goods that come out of being a homemaker?
The greater goods, I would say, number one is ultimately honoring God. So it's about being obedient to God, first and foremost of all. And so it shows obedience to God. It honors God. It reflects God, the role that He gave me as a woman to fulfill. The greater good is that there's less pressure. I used to be in the workforce, of course, over the years. I've been working since I was 14, so I know how it's like. There's just less pressure. What else? It's just less pressure. I can be able to focus on things like my hobbies, my interests, and the home, and just make that my whole priority.
Well, what I find is interesting, you talk about how you can focus more on your interests and your hobbies, your talents, your gifts, right? Yeah. And I think that's really important because, from my perspective, right, at some point you're going to start having kids, and you're going to be raising the next generation. Which, in my mind, I'm like, there's nothing more important than taking care of kids and raising that generation, because if we neglect them, then like there are tons of historical examples of what happens when you don't give your kids the nurturing that they need. But on the other side here is going back to the gifts is that I believe that the more a woman works on her gifts and grows herself in that way, the mm-hmm. more she beautifies the world, the more she beautifies her family, the more she makes her husband a better man, and makes her children, you know, better members of their community, and just better servants of God all around. Because, your gifts come from God, right? And so, anytime you expound on your gifts, you grow them, you make them stronger. And when you do that, you're in a way you're glorifying God, and the blessings are just amazing that flow from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go a little bit into some of like your transition, right? Or your transformation. That's a much better word.
Yeah.
Your transformation. So, you've gone through, this transition of sorts. You started off from one mindset and now you are where you are today, right? Like totally different mindset than what you had before. Can you tell us a little bit about that mindset? I know that, you've called it indoctrination and stuff before. Can you just help me understand what is that mindset and how did you end up in that sort of a mindset?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I got to start from the beginning. Like a majority of Americans, if we attend public secular universities, we tend to get indoctrinated, not all, but quite a few of us become polished, indoctrinated individuals after college, and that's what happened to me. I went into college a little bit conservative. I believed in, you know, working hard, earning your way. I was just neutral about America. I wasn't like overly patriotic, but sure. I had just a normal liking for America, believing in America, things like that. When I went through college, it's a very slow indoctrination. It's very hard to see what's really going on, the types of things that's on campus, the activities, the way that university is set up. It's set up to, to get you propped up for the world. So throughout college, I guess that's when all that really changed. And then after college, I just found myself becoming this like radical social justice type person. The things I learned in high school and elementary school was not as close to what I learned in college. It's like they won't shove it down your throat about being oppressive, about being a victim because I'm black and I'm a woman and everything. I just believed it. I just felt college is, they are experts, they're professionals. They're teaching us something that we didn't know about before. I just saw it as new knowledge, even though it was like worldly knowledge, and I just believed it like normal. And after college, I just began pursuing more of it. And this ideology of being oppressed and a victim, not only because of my circumstance, but also a circumstance that happened in America historically and with my ancestors and things like that. And as I got older, I just found myself like, why am I believing this? This is the very thing that's holding me back. Like, if I keep thinking that I am a victim and I am oppressed, that's the very thing that's holding me back. So throughout my 20s, I lived the life of just believing in that ideology. And it wasn't until about the summer of 2019, I received a comment on YouTube that challenged my thinking about injustice and things like that and being oppressed and the topic of racism and everything. And it really challenged my thinking. And I just did more research, and in a click of a moment, literally everything started making sense. And I just literally, like everything just all started making sense. It's like my old self came back. And it's like that kind of thing where you have to stand in the mirror, you know, like when you just like stare in the mirror to yourself. Yeah. And I just thought, wait a minute, I'm the only person that's oppressing myself. I'm the only person that's a victim, like believing I am a victim, like of myself. I'm the only person holding myself back. It's like this mental bondage in my mind. And so in that moment, God kind of spoke to me, and I just had this urge to want to start going to church, this urge to want to believe in the same values I did before college, like marriage and family, homemaking. I remember researching Bible verses as much as I can, listening to sermons. Everything all started making sense. But the thing is that I didn't believe in the Bible over the years, of course. In college, I had no care about the Bible. I had no care about Jesus. I used to make fun of Jesus and memes online and stuff like that. I used to mock Christians and everything. And now here I am being a Christian and I guess officially born again. And God started working on my heart very slowly. And so from like 2019 to 2020, when the pandemic happened, churches shut down and activities and everything else shut down, of course, so I couldn't volunteer and continue going to church. But yeah, it was just like a huge awakening and everything clicked. And it all just began with just really reflecting on who I am and not letting the world define me and not defining my identity around my flesh, like my skin color, my eye color, my gender, things like that. So, it was just a transformation. And being born again is basically trusting in Christ, to trusting, repentance, and believing in Christ, and getting a new spirit. So it's like God gives you the grace, and He transforms your spirit into your new creation, basically. So,
absolutely.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Oh, there's so many things I want to ask you here. Let me start at the beginning.
Okay.
You don't have to answer this. You can just say you don't want to say. But I am really curious. Can you tell us what that comment was that got you thinking? That was like.
It was so random. I used to post a little bit of like political things in my YouTube channel. I saw YouTube as like for fun and random things.
Sure.
And so the topic was about dating in the Black community and everything. And so she left a comment, whoever this person was, they left a comment about like racism or something in the 1950s. And I was like, what is she talking about? What? Like, what's with this thing about the 50s and racism or whatnot? And so I just, first I was upset at the comment because it looks like she was saying that it doesn't exist or something. So I was upset at that. Like, I believed in this system of oppression, a system that's embedded in the fabric of America. I used to believe in that. I used to be hardcore believing that since college. So imagine someone saying, no, that infrastructure doesn't exist. So of course, I was very upset. I think I deleted the comment out of upset or being angry or upset. I wish I would have saved it, but I forgot if it was later on that day or the next day, I decided to just go on Google and research the definition of racism. Like, what is this thing? Like, everyone says it's mainstream. It's all over the news. It's over the media. Like, what is this word? Let's just check it out. So I went on Google, did a quick search, typed in the definition. And I think now the definition has changed. This was in 2019.
Oh yeah, no. Google will definitely give you a different answer now.
Yes. It has changed drastically. Like, so I looked up the definition. If I remember, it said the belief that your race is superior to another race, which kind of equals self-exhaustion a little bit, or exhaustion
absolutely.
Of your group, like your ethnicity, your culture, your race, things like that. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm the person that's exalting my group. I'm the one that believe I am superior. Like, my group done a lot in the world and things like that. Because I used to believe in, you know, my group is superior, and another group came along and took our power away and things like that.
Yeah.
And that because my skin color, I'm like mystical. I used to think really weird things like, I'm naturally powerful because of my skin color and things like that. And then so basically I read the definition. I was like, wait, I am that person. I've been like hypocritical this whole time. And so I remember, I think I'm apologizing to people that I used to get into debates with about the topic of oppression and things like along white supremacy and things like that. I remember like apologizing to one person. I was like, oh, I understand now. Like, cause they used to like tell me not to like talk about it, don't post about it, things like that.
Sure.
So I apologized to a few people, and I just like, this new energy just came upon me, and I just felt like different. And that's when I started getting the urge to go to church and start believing in and doing the right thing. Like, my morality sort of changed, basically.
Well, absolutely. And actually, I have to comment on that, because you said, you know, my morality changed.
Yeah.
So something I talked a lot about in my podcast and have written about is specifically about morality and how God, religion, and morality all tie together and really, really closely. And it's not surprising, though, that you know, you go through, you start to do some research and you feel this different energy come upon you, your morality starts to change. And that's because suddenly your religion, which is your system of beliefs, start to shift. Yeah. And a lot, and generally if they're shifting, it's because your source of God, and God is, if you want to look at it in a symbolic sense, right? God is your highest moral authority. And then suddenly your highest moral authority is changing. It's no longer like, oh, it's no longer saying that I'm moral because everything I do is great because of my skin color. Now it's like, well, skin color doesn't really, you know, like once that foundation melts away, you're like, well, you technically need a new moral authority. You need a new higher power to look towards. Right. And then so your system of beliefs change and your morality changes. And now you end up where you are now. I'm really curious to understand or I want to know, what are your, how do you feel different now as compared to then? You had mentioned, you're always feeling like you are oppressed, right? It's a system of oppression. In my opinion, when I see people in that, caught in that mindset, right? It doesn't matter their color. If they believe in that, regardless of who they are, if they believe in that, I always find them to be some of the most miserable human beings I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And which makes me feel bad, but like, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just telling you what I observe. Mm-hmm. How do you feel different now in terms of like happiness and fulfillment compared to then?
Okay. Well, like you said, I think I was miserable back then. I just didn't have a strong sense of morality. I just did not understand right from wrong. I would see, how can I say this? I would like basically worship, or I would try to get my morality from the world, like from my, I don't know if you can hear that sound effect.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay. So I would try to get my morality from like the world. So like my skin color, my gender, and my hair and things like that. So I just not have a strong sense of morality, like knowing right from wrong. I kind of just want to do what I wanted to do. Like I made my own rules. That makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I try to get my wisdom and understanding from myself. And I think in the Bible, it even says, I haven't read the entire Bible, but I know there's a verse that says, don't lean on your own understanding.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, always look towards God. And so I would try to get my wisdom from the past, like ancestral worshiping, and just trying to like, how can I say this? Trying to use politics and what political leaders and what social justice leaders and things had to say for me. So I don't even think for myself. It was just what they said was correct, what the media says. I just like blindly follow this ideology. And so when I became born again, Kristen, all that went away, and God gave me this stronger sense of morality to discern a situation. Now I understand it's about someone's character and their behavior, not necessarily their skin color and their gender. Those are just flesh devices or something.
Yeah.
It's about our character, how we treat people, how we respect people, how we relate to people, things like that. So in my younger years or my old self, I would see it as gender and skin color and things like that. So now I see it as someone's character.
Well, yeah, it's totally, when you see things in that way, you're very battleistic in a way, right? You're always having to battle someone in order to prove like, no, like, you know, this is the way the world is. Mm-hmm. Anyone who doesn't conform in that way, it can cause a lot of irritation and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to recall something that you had mentioned. You were talking about how it's all about character.
Yeah.
I love that you said that, because that's the Bible in a nutshell. And that's the message of Christ in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there is repentance, and there's all those things. There's the atonement. There's the things He has done for us. But in the end, if we repent, if we use the atonement like we ought to, we will have a transformation of character, of spirit, of mind, of action, behavior, and we do serve a fellow man more. Right? It becomes more about forgetting yourself and remembering others. right? Like Christ talks about how that, you know, anyone who tries to save themselves, you know, shall lose their lives. But you try to, you know, lose your life, then you shall, you know, end up saving yourself.
Right.
It's all about getting outside of the self and being like, hey,
right,
if I'm going to think of others, I cannot think of them as my enemy. I have to think of them as my fellow brother and sister in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. They're a child of God. It's so beautiful and poetic. I'm not trying to go out too much on a rant here. I just love how Christianity is very, very poetic and aligns with correcting human behavior to create what we ultimately want, which is a utopian society, right? We want to have this utopia where we get along.
Right.
But we can only do so if we put down our swords, our spears, and say, no, like, I love you, and, you know, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you sound like. I don't care where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
We're all children of God.
Right. Yeah. God created us all. So no one's better than anyone else. I remember too, also in my younger self or in my old self, I'll get so offended very easily. I'll get triggered just like a typical social justice person. Not to say social justice is a bad thing, but those who overvalue it and they worship it and they make it their entire lives, it can be a little miserable because basically, like being a social justice kind of person, I'd say SJW, but not many people know what that means. It's like an internet word. But if you overvalue social justice and make it your whole identity, you're going to end up with more frustration and more being offended. And so I remember just being easily triggered and easily offended over anything, because I used to believe in like all the same, that same rhetoric that's being pushed by the media and the public school system, the education system. Women were oppressed, blacks were oppressed. It's like America has this obsession with the word oppressed. And I think what's going to happen is that it's going to sort of mess with the true definition of oppressed. When someone is truly being oppressed, no one's going to be able to recognize it, because if we all believe we're just oppressed, and we're truly not oppressed here in America currently, in this current time, it's going to create conflict with the actual true definition. And if someone is truly going through something that is oppressive.
You're right. You will get those who would be responsive and willing to fight for and protect those who are actually going through oppression. You'll get them to become totally despondent, right? They like you were saying, they can't recognize it, so therefore they can't go rescue other people, because
right,
suddenly everything's oppression,
right?
Everything is that, so therefore nothing is that, in a way, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, what do you feel like, or how do you feel like your faith has played a role in the messages that you share on your YouTube channel and on Instagram? I'd love to know, love to know a little more about that.
I guess faith plays a role in that, because I'm here to share the gospel. God calls for us to share the good news, which means the gospel. It's not really about our testimony, because our testimony can be unrelatable to so many people. Like my testimony is probably not be relatable to the next person. But I share the gospel as much as I can, not only about biblical womanhood, but I want to also branch out to other aspects of the Bible, like repentance, humans being in a fallen state, or we're all born in sin. We all naturally reject God from the beginning. Just things like that as well. And so like life transformation through Christ, how Christ died for us. He paid the price for our sins. Forgiveness, all those things. And so I just think that now God is using me to work for him in a good way to help spread those messages. And so I'm going to use social media. I'm going to use it for a good thing. So yes, I spent some time rewiring my social media to get ready to spread the good news. So
I love that. What would you say makes the biblical role of women so powerful?
What was the last part you said?
Oh, sorry. What do you feel like makes the biblical role of women so powerful?
Good question. What makes it so powerful?
Yeah, why is the biblical role of women so powerful as opposed to the worldly role where they're like, you know, they say, do whatever you want, marriage, kids, you know, it's like, doesn't matter. Why is that biblical role, the way that God wants families to be, the way women can play a role in their families, why is that more powerful, would you say?
It's more powerful because of the way God designed it. It's just so wholesome. It feels right. The world does not value it, and the world doesn't really understand it. But I can say, living in it, it feels so fulfilling. It feels wholesome. It feels right. It feels just. It feels right doing the right thing, of course. And it just feels right following God's ways. Like, I followed the world's way, of course, for so many years. And I got nothing out of it. Misery, broken relationships, or like broken dating habits, or I should say like bad dating habits, things like that. So I would say it's powerful because it's designed by God. It's something that, it's a gift that He gave us women who are called for it. It's like a job that's already handed to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah.
That's handed to you.
Yes.
I'm curious just because a lot of people nowadays, unfortunately, they look, younger people especially, they look towards popularism, you know, people who are popular out there, you know, like celebrities, Hollywood, to get an idea as to how should they feel or think about things. Now, you spent some time working in Hollywood. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you notice anything in particular about the attitudes or the way they are teaching people in the Hollywood sphere?
I guess in regards to like the culture of Hollywood, is that what you're?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I guess most mainstream TV shows follow the culture. If that's what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely follow the culture more. And, it just feels like, Whenever you watch a modern TV show, even if it's one that's meant to be like more wholesome, you still get these little snippets of what I would call snippets of indoctrination in there, right?
They're right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
A majority of it is godless. I mean, a majority of Hollywood, it's godless. I mean, it's operated by Satan. So most of it, I mean, maybe there's like a 5% of it that's not, but for the most part, yeah, Hollywood is very, very secular, and so I experienced it. So,
well, even like Disney, right? So, I actually, spoiler alert. Not, this isn't a spoiler, but like a little announcement here. I just went to Disney World with my family. It was a little trip that we had planned out, you know, a long time ago. And I'm like, all right, so we just went. But like, I noticed more and more as I was there that like it's like Shakespeare says, it's much to do about nothing. Where you're like, okay. Where's like the meat of the joy here? It can't just be music. It can't just be these cool little stories. Like there needs to be a foundation to it. And it used to be God. I mean, Walt Disney himself, he believed in the founding of America as something that was really powerful and beautiful. And there was a lot of spiritual power to it. And there was a lot of that feeling because he came from a culture that was way different than now, where people universally recognized God and Christianity as kind of the source of things. But if I think of like the Lion King, the new one they made, right, where they you know, the digital animals and stuff with the creepy faces that have no expression. Have you seen the new Lion King movie?
No, I haven't seen new movies in like 2 or 3 years now.
Oh wow. So in that one, like the cartoon, I love the cartoon version of it. It's like really, really good. And it's a very spiritual story. It's very spiritual. I mean, you have Simba who loses his way. And then the way he comes back is he sees his father. Mm-hmm. And his father ultimately says, remember who you are. And there's a lot of other subliminal messages in there that are very very spiritual and very godly. Mm-hmm. But in the new one they did, they kind of like gutted most of that out. And so as I watched it, I just kind of felt like, okay, you got most of the same story, but you left some things out where now it's just a story, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, they really destroyed the most powerful part of the whole movie, which was him seeing his father in the clouds and him talking to him there. Like, that was very just like, they butchered it. And so I walked away from that movie thinking, man, like, can... If anything is godly, can they not, you know, hold on to it at all? Right. And then they try to make up for it for some spiritual song, like, played in the background while he runs across the sands. But it just became more awkward than anything else. yeah, it's interesting there.
Yeah, it's sad, but yeah.
Now, you're reading the Bible. You've read Genesis so far, and now mm-hmm. you're jumping into some of the New Testament right now, and you shared some of these verses with me that are your favorite, and they're really dang good verses.
Yeah.
they are really good. And I noticed, you know, that some of them are about, you know, transformation, purifying, but also the role of, you know, man and woman and following God. I know there's probably some very obvious reasons, but why would you say you chose those verses as some of your favorite?
I think one is Romans 12:2. That was one of the first verses I read when my heart started transforming back in 2019. That verse stood out to me the most. And when I first read it, I was like, wow, I've been conforming to the world. Like, it literally spoke to me. Like I said, when I was younger and I understand the Bible, I just saw it as just black words on white paper. But now that I read it with being born again with the new spirit, it's colorful, right? So that verse stood out to me. It was like speaking to me that I've been conforming to the world. The light of God is not in me. And then, don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So that's when I knew my mind has been enslaved with these worldly indoctrination, ideologies, and things like that, and just following what I believe to be true, leaning on my own understanding, doing what I want to do, things like that. So that's when I knew God is transforming me, and I just continued reading verses and looking up videos on Bible verses and sermons and things like that. Another one that I like, I don't think I mentioned it, but it's Proverbs 14, which is, it goes, the woman who builds up her home is wise, but the woman who tears it down is the foolish one, or something like that. I can't on top of my head, but yeah, that stood out to me too. When I my heart was being worked on by God, I just figured, wow, you know, what does this mean to really be a wife and homemaker? So they all just stood out to me when I first was going through I think it's called the rejuvenation stage. That's when God kind of reaches you. Then sanctification, and then I think justification is the last one.
Yeah.
Or the next process, justification is your relation with God or whatnot.
Yeah, that sounds correct, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that is the next step. I apologize.
Yeah. There's a lot to comprehend being born again, but
and now I assume your husband, he's Christian, right?
Yes.
How did you meet that awesome dude?
How did I meet him?
Yeah.
We met the summer of 2020 amidst the pandemic situation. We met through Facebook dating.
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
No, sorry. So you met him through Facebook dating. Were you guys already in the same area?
Surprisingly. I just told my friend, I'll never find anyone in my town. Like, most people here are married. They have children. I live in a very small town, so it was just like a miracle. It was God completely. He had a plan for me. And even though I kept like rejecting it and straying away and doing what I wanted to do, I got back on that path, and then the blessings started pouring in. So
that's awesome. And so you met in the summer of 2020, and you were married by October 2020.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's Well, when you know, right? When you know it's the right person, it's not like, hey, you want to prolong this another year and a half? Like,
yeah.
So why? Yeah. No, that's pretty fantastic. And I had the opportunity to meet him, and I'm saying this for those listening. And he seems like someone of very strong character. That's what I could tell. He seemed like someone who is very, very firm and really knows what he knows.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's a hard worker, a great provider. He's very outstanding when it comes to providing. He's just so loving. I just love
them. Well, and I have to say, so, you know, being married and you know, I have a wife, I have kids. I watched your video where he is making the blackberry pie.
Oh, blueberry pie.
So I remember, you know, the title is like, you know, you make a blackberry or excuse me, blueberry pie. And I thought it was so funny. I laughed because I recognized exactly what he was doing, which was, he was being a good husband, and probably he's probably exhausted. He's probably like, you know, the last thing I want to do is be seen on a camera because I, you know, I'm tired looking and stuff. And yet he's like, yeah, I'm going to make this pie with you. I really sense that from him, that he was doing something with you and for you because he loved you.
Yeah.
And that was just like, I saw that. I was like, yes, like, I love this guy. He's awesome. So I kind of laughed because I didn't expect you to say he was going to make it and you're going to make sure he does it right. I thought you were going to do it and he was maybe going to support. So when you're like, he's going to make it, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I want to see how he's going to do it just for like entertainment value. But
yeah, no, it was really awesome. Those listening to this, you got to watch that video. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And if you're man or woman, watch this, just I pay attention to him. You can see that he does this because he loves his wife. Mm-hmm. And that's a real man right there. Mm-hmm. A real man supports womanhood by being there and doing, you know, sacrificing oneself for another. Right. I can definitely, identify with that. Sometimes you just feel tired and you don't want to do things, but, and that, maybe that wasn't his attitude or anything like that at all. But all I'm saying is that it just seemed like he was doing this out of love. Right. That's what I noticed. And I was like, that's
togetherness. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Togetherness. That's exactly right. It's more about that. And, let me share this with you. You say that and it brought to mind. So my parents are, they're not married anymore. You know, they're divorced. And something that I was always particular about is they, as I grew up, we kind of just didn't do much together as a family anymore. I mean, like we had, when we were in the same house, you know, we would do family nights every week, but like if we wanted to go camping or we wanted to go to a family reunion, generally it would be like, okay, my mom would stay home cause she didn't want to go and we'd all go. Right. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like togetherness was so important that, when I met my wife, right. That was the thing we had to overcome in each other was, getting over this, like, oh, I don't really want to do this, right? Like, you go ahead to where we're now, like, okay, even though, like, for example, my wife does not like camping, and I love camping, but in the beginning parts of our marriage, I was just so insistent, like, no, you have to come. Like, camping isn't going to feel right. It's not going to be as enjoyable without you, right? And then she wants to go do things as well. Maybe we go shopping or whatever it is. Togetherness just really meant a lot, where we go, it's not about me and what I want to do. It's about me being with you. And ultimately that is what I want to do, is be with you. So I find that beautiful. I did want to ask you, this is a little bit more on the fun side here. Have you watched the TV show The Chosen?
No, I think I've seen ads about it, like on YouTube or whatnot, but no, so, I don't watch much TV.
No, you're totally fine. I literally don't watch any TV shows. I don't watch. Yeah. I mean, I'll watch some movies here and there, but generally I don't watch much. But the Chosen, I was going to ask you what your favorite episode might have been, but it's the most incredible depiction of the life of Christ and his apostles I've ever seen. Where it's like, it's not, how do I put it? Usually when anyone tries to do it, the disciples themselves and kind of come off annoying or even self-righteous and stuck up. Christ can come off that way, right? Where you're just like, it's now cringeworthy what I'm watching. But they do an amazing job of where as you watch that show, you just see Christ, you see the Savior, and you see that he's happy. And people love being around him. And he's doing a lot of good in the world. It's just incredible. And the way they depict kind of the character growth of these disciples, because they were products of their time, right? Mm-hmm. They were dealing with their own cultural issues, which was they didn't like anyone who wasn't Jewish. You know, they hated Romans, right? They were living under oppression, and how they felt towards each other, right? For example, you have Matthew, who was a tax collector, which Jews absolutely hated, because if you worked for the Romans to collect taxes from the Jews, that made you a traitor. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to see the dynamics and the realism they put in there, and how beautifully it all comes together. Mm-hmm. So I guess I wasn't expecting that you hadn't seen it, so I'll just say you got to see it. It's probably the only show worth watching nowadays. It's amazing.
Okay. Is it a newer show or is it older?
No, it's brand new. In fact, they're barely working on the second season.
Okay.
Actually, if you just download the Chosen app, you can watch all the episodes for free. It's totally free. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, so Anne, the work that you do has inspired me, and it has made me feel like there's hope for our generation, because I feel like millennials, I'm like stop being so and I feel like what you do is having a fantastic impact. I want people to know more about you and follow you more. So how can they follow you on YouTube and find you on YouTube and on Instagram? Like, what are the best ways they can find you online?
The best way to find me is on YouTube and Instagram. My name or username on Instagram and YouTube is the same. It's Mrs., like M-R-S, Berylanne, like my name, B-E-R-Y-L-A-N-N-E, and Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. And you could put spaces in between those, like Mrs. Berylanne Phillips. But I have my links on the sites as well. So if you click through the About section or the Bio section, you'll see the links there as well.
Perfect. Yeah, so if you are not already listening, watching, and following Anne online, you got to do it. She is amazing. And
thank you.
And also, as you watch her, share with other people, because this is a person who is having a good impact in the world, an impact that the world needs, a turning back to God and proper values and virtues. So, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on my show. If I could give you a quick minute here, if you could like say anything to the world, if you could share one message with anyone, you know, what would that message be?
Wow. One message. Well, I mean, as fast as I can say, I am that millennial who went from being, or that one millennial who went against the grain, pursued different things. I was that millennial who didn't care about, conservative values or whatnot. I was that millennial who just went against the grain, do what I want to do, reject it, what's good. I was that millennial who was like a little stubborn and just thought life is about being oppressive and wanting things to be handed to me and not seeing the value in work and earning and things like that. I was that millennial who rejected homemaking and Christ and the Bible and things like that. And God really did do a lot of work on me. He really did transform me. Jesus Christ does save. He is our ultimate savior. We can't be saved by another man. Politics can't save us. Political leaders can't save us. People can't save us. Our friends can't save us. Things like that. Having a degree didn't save me. It was Jesus Christ. And when I trusted in him and repented of my sins, my sinful ways, and the wrongdoing of what I was doing, I trusted in him and I believed in him. And my life started making sense. Things started becoming better. Good things started happening. I got a better sense of morality, knowing right from wrong, assessing someone's character, and not just seeing a situation based on their flesh, their skin color, hair color, eye color, gender, those things don't really matter to God. It does matter, of course, but God will judge us one day when we answer to God. When we answer to God, He's going to ask us the things that we did. He's not going to be concerned about our gender, our hair color, our skin color when we meet with God at the gates. He's going to want to know what we did. And based on what we do here on earth, this is just temporary. We're just passing through. The world is short-lived. It's temporary. We should focus our energy, our hope, and faith, and our trust in our eternal life with God. It's eternal, so it's more serious than the life here. So we shouldn't spend our time overvaluing temporary pleasures and temporary dreams and desires and focusing on ourselves. Ultimately, it is about God and our eternal life with Him. And Christ is here to guide us along the way. He did pay the price in advance for us to live. He died so we can live. So, I said that under one breath. So I really hope that was encouraging and inspirational. Christ is there for you, so just trust in Him, and He's got you.
Well, that is a beautiful message.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. That is a powerful testimony of what Christ has done for you. Mm-hmm. And He can do it for anyone. He can transform anyone. And I would even say, because all the things we experience in this world are basically symptoms of how our characters are. You know, are we aligned with God? Are we, are we looking after other people? That we can ultimately ensure that our future is brighter if we can be... if we can have a transformation like that, we can come onto Christ. And like, the more people who can have an Ann transformation or an Alex transformation, like anyone who can come closer to God, that will ultimately make everything in this world so much better. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate Ann what you shared there. I really, really feel touched. So thank you for that. So once again, everyone, please follow Ann online, and thank you so much for listening to this interview. Take care, Ann.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was an interview with Ann. Isn't she incredible? I loved getting her story there and sharing it with all of you. It was incredible to learn. I just love, she was able to state some powerful, deep truths just from speaking of her experience and what she has learned. I think this spells a lot of good hope for everyone. The fact that she is someone who can go from where she was to where she is now means that the more of us who can get behind people like her and can support what they're doing, there can be more incredible transformational experiences that are experienced by many more people out there. They just need to be exposed to the right ideas, the right people. So please follow her online, and as usual, live free until next time.